Let's turn in our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 53. Let's unite our hearts together in a moment's prayer and seek the face of the Lord for His blessing afresh. Let's ask the Lord to help us. Our gracious God and our Father, we thank Thee for the one who was wounded for me. And we thank Thee that He died on the cross in my room and in my stead. We thank Thee for the great price that our Savior paid there. O God, we realize that it is a price beyond our comprehension. But we thank Thee it was paid that we might be free. We thank Thee it is a redemption price. We thank Thee that those that are redeemed are free. And O God, we pray for those who are outside of Christ that they might be redeemed tonight. That they might take hold of what Christ has purchased for them and be made gloriously free in our Savior. We thank Thee, Lord, that Thou art a great God. We bless Thee that Thou art able to do exceeding abundantly for us. O God, do exceeding abundantly in our meeting, and that Thou wouldst visit us as we gather at Thy feet. Bless us, our God. And we just ask Thee that Thou wouldst minister to our hearts. For it's in Jesus' precious name I would ask these things. Amen. Amen. And looking tonight at verses 4 to 6 of this great chapter of God's Word, Isaiah 53. Surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. In this wonderful chapter of God's Word, we have a wonderful picture and portrait of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we have said, as you look at every verse, you get a different view of the Savior. In verse 1, we saw the strong one. He is the arm of the Lord. He's strong in His provision, in His person, and strong in His power. Then in verse 2, we saw the slight, sensitive Savior. He's like a tender plant, like a root out of a dry ground. And then in verse 3, the last time, we saw the sorrowing one. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. But here we come to the sin-bearing one, because in these verses we come right to the very heart of the gospel. Here we enter upon Calvary's hill, and we come right to the very verge of Golgotha's brow, and we see the dying scenes of our Savior's death upon there on the cross. And it's not a bit wonder, in the light of what we read here, that Isaiah is often called the fifth gospel. He is the evangelical prophet. You will find that if you read the Gospels and point out and pick out the times when it says that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, you'll be amazed. Because Isaiah just seemed to see the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. You think of how he saw His birth. Way back in the very early chapters of the book, we read about the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Isaiah, 700 years before the birth of our Savior, was able to tell us all about it. And then when you read through the chapters of the book from chapter 1 to chapter 66, there are so many references to different aspects of the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here in Isaiah 53, we have a dramatic picture of Calvary. It is as if this prophet sits at Calvary and sees. You know, it was said of Abraham, way back in the days of Genesis, that he saw Christ's day and was glad. And I think in a really very real way we can say of Isaiah that he too saw Christ's day and was glad. Here he sees the Savior, and here he sees Calvary. And there's nothing else for it but to believe that he saw Calvary here. These are the very words of God, because here is an intimate portrait and picture of our Savior as He died there on the cross of Calvary. We can only say that this was inspired of God. For how could a man so very clearly paint a picture of Calvary so many hundred years before it was actually to take place. So here we have the very heart and pith and marrow of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've come to Calvary's cross, and there we see the Savior hanging on that cross in the room and stead of sinners. And so today what we want to do is come to the cross. I want us by our mind's eye to fix our hearts and our eyes upon the Savior. And we want to see the dying form of one who died on that center cross. There are a number of things about the Lord Jesus Christ here in this portion of Scripture that I want you to see. And the first thing I want you to see as we come to the verses here is the burden of Christ. It says here in verse 4, "Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted." And you see there the burden of Christ. He bore our griefs and He carried our sorrows. And what did He carry? Well, look at what it says here. It says He bore our griefs. Now, that's a reference to our sicknesses. He bore our sicknesses, because the word there, griefs, and the word that is translated by griefs and sorrows there is a word that is also translated sicknesses or diseases or pains. He bore our sicknesses. He bore our diseases. And indeed, the verse is quoted as being fulfilled over in Matthew chapter 8. If you turn over to Matthew chapter 8 and look at verses 16 and 17, you'll see that this is one of the portions where it says that was fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. But look at Matthew chapter 8, verses 16 and 17. He says, chapter 8, verse 6, he says, "When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses." So there is a definite reference to physical sicknesses there. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying. I want you to be very careful about what you listen to. What I'm saying here, there's a wonderful truth here. But I don't want you to misunderstand me, because there are many charismatics who come and they take this verse of Scripture and they say, well, He bore our sicknesses on the cross, and in the atonement He bore our sicknesses, and now we can claim healing for our sicknesses right now. That's not what has been said in the verse of Scripture. And you have to come to it with an already made up mind to read it like that. That's not what is being said here when it says He bore our sicknesses. There are charismatics that say, well, you just can be healed. They say that if you are saved, you shouldn't be sick. Indeed, there are some of them that say if you've got false teeth, that you can grow new teeth if you believe in this verse of Scripture and claim this healing. Well, of course, that's a lot of nonsense. But what He says here is that He does heal our sicknesses. And there was a fulfillment of it when our Savior went about on this scene of time. When He came to earth, He did bear sickness, in that He bore it away. He healed it. And He bore it away and He took it. And He had a regard for the sicknesses of men and women. But there is a more wonderful fulfillment. Because when our Savior takes our sins away, it means that those who have their sins forgiven will one day be taken to a place where there is no sickness. Thank God, that's the purpose of the cross of Calvary, to bring men and women to that place called heaven. And we're told that in heaven there is no sickness, there is no pain, there is no sorrow, there is no grief, there are none of these things. And thank God, in that sense, He dealt with our physical sickness. Oh, what a wonderful thing that those that are saved tonight are going to a place where all our sickness and all our trials and all our burdens and all these things will be taken away. I know a place where night is turned to day. I know a place where sins are washed away, burdens are lifted, Blind eyes are made to see. There's a wonder-working power in the blood of Calvary. And thank God tonight that He is one who is going to bring us, because of Calvary, to a place where all our sorrows and all our sicknesses are washed away. And dear man or woman, if you're not saved tonight, you can't look forward to that. Those of us that are saved, we can look forward to that place, but all the old bodily sicknesses will all be dealt with and washed away. But not only did He bear our griefs in the sense of sicknesses, but He bore our sin. Because that's the full meaning of the verse. When the prophet here speaks about sickness, what he is doing really is using a figure of speech called a metonymy. Now, a metonymy is when you use the attribute of something to describe it. For example, if I was to say the pen is mightier than the sword, you'd know what I meant. I mean by the pen, writing. And I mean by the sword, force or fighting. And when I use the pen, you use the pen to write and use the sword to fight. But when I use, say, the pen, I'm speaking about writing. And when I say the sword, I'm speaking about fighting. That's metonymy. And what the Lord is doing here is that He is speaking, when He says about sickness, He's really speaking about sin. Because there's something far worse than sickness. There's something far worse than pain and grief and sorrow in this world, and that is sin. Sin will bring us down. All our ills are a result of sin. All our sicknesses are a result of sin. But here's the wonderful news, that our Savior just doesn't deal with the symptoms, the sicknesses and all the other things, and the sorrows and the griefs. Well, yes, He's going to take those away from us when we get to heaven. But thank God He goes right down into the root and He deals with the very heart of the sickness and the symptoms that we have. He deals with the sin. He went to the cross of Calvary to bear our sins. Now that's a more wonderful truth than anything. There are people that get caught up with disease and with healings and all these other things. But I'm glad that I have a Savior who deals with sin. Are your sins washed away? Are your sins forgiven? But there is another wonderful thing here, and that is the fact that our Savior is willing to deal with our sins as if they were sicknesses. Do you see that? Because sin is far more than sickness. Sin is far deeper than sickness. You know, we can have sickness, and if it was just sickness that we had, we would be able to go and excuse ourselves. But we deliberately sin. And sin is not just a sickness, sin is a crime against God. Now, if God was going to deal with our sin as if it was a crime, we would be brought before the bar of God and pronounced guilty and put into a Christless eternity, and that would be it. And our sin deserves that. And sin is a crime, and that's what God could do with us. But God is willing to deal with us not as if sin was a crime, but as if it was a sickness. And He provides a healing for the sickness. And He provides something that will be a balm to the sickness. And I'm glad that in His mercy tonight, that God is willing to deal with your sin like a sickness. Not like a crime. But He does deal with it with a crime. If you have to stand before the judgment bar of God one day, it will be dealt with as a crime. But here and now, God is willing to deal with it as a sickness. It can be healed. Because Christ has provided that healing by going all the way to the cross of Calvary. And so not only does He bear our sin, but thank God He takes it away and washes us in His own precious blood. So we see the burden of Christ. He's borne our griefs and He has carried our sorrows. But then I want you to see something else here in this portion of Scripture. Not only do we see the burden of Christ, but I want you to see the bruising and the bleeding of Christ. Look at what He says in verse 5. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes we are healed. Now you notice the words that are used there. He was wounded. He was bruised. He was chastised. He was striped. Look at the word wounded there. The word wounded literally means to
perforate or to pierce. And that reminds us of the way that our Savior was pierced on the cross. Those nails that pierced His hands and His feet. The spear that pierced His side. The crown of thorns that pierced His brow. And we think of the awful, painful sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'll tell you, there's more than that. Because He had a piercing of His heart. Oh, His heart was pierced. His heart was broken. You think of those words when He cried out on the cross, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? His heart was pierced. But I'm glad that out of those piercing wounds of the Savior flowed the precious crimson tide. And the Bible says, the Lord said of the dead children of the day of the Exodus, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And when that those wounds were made, out of those wounds came the precious blood. And the Paul writing to the Ephesians said of that blood that it was the church which He hath purchased with His own blood. And I'm glad tonight of the precious blood that came from those wounds. I'm glad tonight that He was pierced that we might be forgiven. So there were the woundings here, the wounds which speak of the piercing of the Savior. But then there are the stripes. It says, by His stripes are we healed. And there we have the stripes that were put upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's an awful picture of the wounding of the Savior and the stripes a few chapters back here in Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 6. It says of the Lord Jesus, I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. And we know that Herod sent our Savior to the place where He was to be flogged. We know the Roman soldiers made sport of Him and put upon Him a purple robe and the crown of thorns upon His brow. But they also took that lawful flogging instrument, that whip, and they flogged Him. But thank God that by those stripes were healed. They left Him almost dead. They left Him there in the ground so that He was almost lifeless. But by His stripes were healed. We see the stripes, but also speaks about the bruising. He was bruised for our iniquities. Now the bruise there, the word bruise just means to beat in pieces. And that's what happened to our Savior there on the cross of Calvary. He was beaten in pieces. In fact, the word there is that He was made a bruise for our iniquities. It was as if He was one big bruise. That's the way they left the Savior. I believe that on the cross He was unrecognizable. I believe that you could hardly tell who He was. And you can see that from the prophecies and what we're told in the prophecies about what happened to our Savior on the cross. In the book of Lamentations, Jeremiah writes about the Savior and he says, is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold and see if there was any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of His fierce anger. And he says, behold and see if there's ever sorrow like mine. And he was left there, unrecognizable. His visage was marred more than any man's. And then not only was he bruised by men, but he was bruised by his Father. It says here at the end of the chapter, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He was not only bruised outwardly, but he was bruised inwardly. And what suffering that was. We can never understand that suffering. We can never take in what suffering and the veil of darkness that he went through. But thank God he was suffering for me. And thank God that on that cross he cried, it is finished. It was completed and all that he had to do was completed there on the cross of Calvary. He was wounded. He was bruised. He was striped for me. A story is told many years ago of a Scottish mother who accidentally wounded her child's wrist with a knife. And to comfort him in his grief, she said to the young child, "Never mind, my bonnie bairn. Your mother will always ken you by that." And later on, they were separated for many a long day. The man went off to make his fortune. One day, there came a knock on the door of the old mother. And there was a fine-looking gentleman at the door. And she didn't know him at the start. And then he showed her the wound upon his wrist. And as soon as she saw the wound upon the wrist, she knew who it was. And she ran and she put her arms round the boy. And she said, "I know you by the scars in your hand." And thank God we can know the Savior by the wounds in his hand, by the print of the nails in his hand. Do you know him today? By his stripes, we are healed. And we see the burden of Christ. He's borne our griefs. We see the bruising and the bleeding of Christ. By his stripes we're healed. But then I want you to see something else. Notice the blessings from Christ. Because it says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. So there was a purpose to all this. There was a reason for the stripes and the bruising and the wounds and the chastisement. What was it all about? Well, we see here a remedy that was miraculous. It says we are healed. We are healed. Those that come to him are healed. And there's the awful disease of sin. And there is this awful burden that is upon men. But thank God, here's a wonderful thing. We can be healed. Do you notice that there are two particular words there that speak of our sin? There is the word transgression, and there is the word iniquity. Now, if there's a difference between the two words, transgression means stepping over the mark. It means going too far. Whereas iniquity means twisting, and it means really bending and twisting. It sort of has a meaning of falling short of the mark. There are the sins of commission and the sins of omission. Sometimes we go too far and we overstep the mark, and sometimes we don't do enough and we come fall short of the mark. But I'm glad that all our sins, the sins of commission and the sins of omission, are catered for in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank God our Savior saves us from every sin. But like the healing here, you have to take the medicine. You've got to apply it to your heart. You've got to take it into yourself. You've got to have the healing balm applied. There's a remedy here, thank God, that is miraculous. By his stripes, we are healed. But there's a certainty there. We are healed. Not that we might be healed, or we could be healed, or there's a possibility that we could be, that there is a healing, but we are healed. You can be healed tonight. You can have this knowledge, a dead on certainty in your heart that you're healed. There's a remedy that's miraculous. But there's something else. There's a relationship that is mended. Not only are we healed, but it says the chastisement of our peace is upon him. We can have peace. Romans 5 and verse 1 says, "Therefore, being justified with God, we have peace with God." And tonight you're at enmity with God. Tonight you're fighting against God. But thank God tonight you can have peace. Peace in your heart. Peace with God. And not only peace with God, but peace of conscience. There are many people and they're troubled by conscience. And there are things that you've done in the past and they trouble you. And pangs of conscience come against you. And they may be sitting at times and you're thinking about nothing. And something comes that reminds you of those things that you've done in the past. You have no peace. No peace. But I'm glad tonight that you can have peace of conscience. What though the accuser roar of ills that I have done? I know them all and thousands more. Jehovah findeth none. You can have peace of conscience. And not only can you have peace of conscience, but you can have peace of contentment. Contentment that knowing that you're right with God. Contentment knowing that your life is right back on center. Knowing that you're on your way to heaven. Knowing that you're have your mansion. You can read your titles clear to mansions in the sky. That you have the indwelling Spirit of God within you. And you're directed day by day of peace of contentment. I wonder tonight, have you contentment in your heart? Are you content with this old world? Are you content about the way that you're walking? Oh, this verse says there is peace. And there's healing. And there's rest to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's blessings from Christ. There's blessings from the cross. And we could never describe them. We could never even attempt to depict even a half of them, dear friend. But there's wonderful blessings to be had in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see the blessings that come from Christ. But there's one more thing I want you to see in this portion of Scripture. There's the blaspheming of Christ. Because what does it say here at the end? It says, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. And it says here that when he came, we esteemed him smitten of God and afflicted. What does that mean? Well, it means here that these people that are being spoken of, you and me, we esteemed him smitten of God. Now, in a sense, he was smitten of God, but what it means here is that these people are thinking of the Savior, that he's dying on the cross, and that the Lord is smiting him for his own sin. Now, that's the way that the Jews treated him. That's the way that people today treat him. They treat our Savior as if he was dying on the cross for his own sin. Now, that's blasphemy. You know that's the way that the Orthodox Jew treats the Savior. That's the way they treated him when they put him upon the cross. But even the Orthodox Jew today, they call him Poshe, or the transgressor. The Jewish Talmud places the Lord Jesus Christ in hell alongside Titus and Balaam as undergoing the severest and the most degrading punishment of hell itself. They esteem him smitten of God and afflicted. Now that's blasphemy. But there are many tonight and you're doing the same thing. Because if our Savior was not dying on the cross in the room instead of sinners, then dear man or woman, he was dying for his own sin and he wasn't God. And there was no efficacy in the cross. And what you're doing really is esteeming him, smitten of God and afflicted. And men love that. They would love to think that our Savior was no better than themselves. The Jews, when they stood at the cross, they delighted in the fact that our Savior was on the cross because they felt that they'd overcome him. They'd proved the point. He was no better than any other. He was no Messiah. There was nothing different about him. There he was, dying on the cross. And you come tonight and you would love to think that the Lord Jesus Christ was no different from anybody else. Because if he is God, one day you must stand before him. If he is God, one day you must give an account. If he is God, dear man or woman, you know that one day You must answer. And so you sit here tonight and you esteem him smitten of God. You say, well, I'll just take my chance and I'll go on. You esteem him smitten of God. You're committing blasphemy tonight. For you are despising the Savior. You are rejecting the one who died on the cross. That man and woman might be forgiven. That you might be saved. You're rejecting him. But I ask you tonight to come to him. I'm asking you to take the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Don't esteem him smitten of God. Realize who he is. The Redeemer. The Sin Bearer. One who died not for his own sins, but for the sins of his people. There on the cross of Calvary. And you need to come to Him. And you need to take Him. For He was wounded for our transgressions. And He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes, we are healed. You can be healed. You can have peace. You can have rest. Oh, dear man or woman, take Him as your Savior and your Lord tonight. Let's just bow, please, in a word of prayer. Our gracious God and our Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word. We thank Thee for the one who was smitten, the one who was bruised, the one who was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. And our God, we thank Thee that He was wounded there for the sins of His people. And O God, that men and women here tonight may come to Him, not despise Him, not count Him smitten of God and afflicted, but count Him as their sin bearer, the one who could take their sins away and will take them away. And by His stripes we are healed. So Lord, bless tonight. Draw sinners to Thyself. Save men and women. And draw them to that place where they'll find Thee, whom to know is life eternal. Bless now, we pray. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we'd ask these things.